Say to yourself, I'm blessed to be here today. Hallelujah. Glory. Let me tell you something. When you say faith is the victory, I want you to understand something. Miracles do not belong to everybody. If you thought that, you've just been deceived. Miracles only belong to those who want it. Hallelujah. There was a man in the Bible, you know, and he came to Jesus. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think he was a blind man. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? The question is, didn't Jesus know before that he was blind? There are times in your life you say, oh, but God, you are watching me in this situation. Don't you know? Of course, he knows. Hallelujah. But he wants you to reach out to him in your faith. Hallelujah. Let me just explain something to you. Hope is not what will deliver you. Hope helps you to see where you are going. You know, people who have no hope, they're in depression. Are you listening? When you have hope, you can see that, oh, I'm going somewhere. But faith helps you to get there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you are just hoping, it's good, but it's not going to get you there. Because hope is future. Faith is now. Hope is passive. Hope is good. I'm not saying hope is not good. Hope is passive. Faith is active. Hallelujah. Hope sees where you are going. Faith takes hold of it. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, it said, everyone. Somebody say everyone. You see, if you are not born of God, I can't help you than to help bring you to be born of God. See, no matter whatever I tell you, yeah, we not help you much. If you are not yet born of God, what you need to do is to become what? Born of God. But if you are born of God, you are a different person. Because the Bible says everyone. Somebody say everyone. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter, you know, your qualification. It doesn't matter your experience. Everyone. Somebody say everyone. Who is born of God has the capacity to overcome this world. Except it's no longer this world that God himself created. Everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. Now, people always told me, say, well, yes, I'm born again. In fact, I've been in church, you know, for 10 years. I'm even in the choir. So why is it that I'm not living victoriously? He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Somebody say, my faith is the victory. How I use my faith determines my victory. See, now you can see that you now take personal responsibility. Hallelujah. Not every Christian will overcome the world. Hallelujah. Not every Christian. If you are full of doubt and worry and unbelief, if you are full of pride and lust, you will not overcome the world. The world will overcome you, though you're a Christian. But if you are full of faith and hope and love, the world can never, the Bible said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. I keep telling people, I said, the fact that you have the light is not the solution. Your light has to shine. Hello? Since you say, I have the light of God. So what did Jesus tell you? He said, let your light so. See the key? When your light shines, darkness will pack its load. Hallelujah. But when that light, you keep it under the head, the darkness will be all around. Hallelujah. Say, I have the light. And I will let it shine. Okay, let's start. Let's start. That was just a preamble. Now let's go into a sermon proper. Okay? We've done the Bible reading, so I will start from neutral. First question today is this. There was some people came to Jesus, I think it was the disciples, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. So my question is this. We know that faith is the victory. So how can you increase your faith? Faith is the victory, isn't it? And we know from the Bible that some people have little faith. And some have big faith. But if you're a believer, you have faith. If you're a believer, what? You already have what? Faith. So just say, I'm a believer. I already have faith. You don't need to despair and say, oh, I don't have faith. There's nothing like that. Don't even confess it. You have faith. That's why you're a believer. But sometimes you have little faith. And some other people, some other times you have great faith. So the question is, if you have little faith, how can you increase your faith? Yes? Let's have some answers.
Yeah, from me, I would say, even if you have little faith can do big things.
Hallelujah.
Because what the Bible says about faith is, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, that little faith can still move mountain from where it is.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And by using that little faith, then you continue to activate that faith. Because for every child of God, there is always a measure of faith inbuilt in you. But it's only when you don't use it that you think you have little faith.
Amen. There's a major key there. There's a major key there. Listen, he say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now tell me, what do you do to this? What do you do with a seed? Hallelujah. You know, some of you, the reason why your faith is not growing is because you're not using it. It's like your muscles. You're never going to have a six pack. If you don't, you understand? He's already got one, okay. You're never going to have a six pack if you don't, you know, exercise your stomach muscles. It's just not going to happen. Anyway, some people have lost hope of that anyway. Hello? You put exercise your muscles, yeah? They're going to become stronger. Hallelujah. Yeah? If you walk about, your legs will feel freer. If you are just, you know, lying down all day watching TV, yeah? And eating popcorn and donut, you know? You're not going to experience the height of physical fitness. Are you with me? Your little faith. Everybody starts from little faith. Somebody says, everybody starts from little faith. But you got to put it into use. When you put your faith into use, it will grow or it will become stronger. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you the importance of that. The importance of that, it means that anybody can receive a miracle. You don't need to be a pastor before God will give you a miracle. You don't need to be a bishop. Yeah, you don't need to be, you know, you don't need to fast for 100 days before God will give you a miracle. There's a place for fasting. I will explain fasting. What fasting does is that it helps you to block off the world and spend time with God. That will help your faith, of course. But it's not just the fasting itself. It's the fact that you can spend time with God. Are you with me? Yeah? Your little faith can still produce results if you dare to put it into use. Yes, let's have another answer. How can you increase your faith, Sister PJ?
By fellowshipping with other believers.
Yes. By fellowshipping. Okay? So thank you very much, Mr. PJ. Let me just explain that point again. You see, because it's anytime you are out of fellowship, you are doing yourself a lot of damage. Let me tell you why. You are in the world. The world does not know the way of God. The world and the word of God, they are at odds. Yeah? Anytime you interact with the world, they're always trying to pull you back. They're always trying to pull you down. They're always trying to misinform you or discourage you or tempt you or deceive you. Okay? So when you are not in fellowship, what are you left with? The world. But when you're in fellowship, you have the opportunity to be stimulated by the word of God. It could come through a sermon or through a testimony or even through songs. Hallelujah. Yes. And final answer. You've not yet eaten my perfect answer, by the way. That's why I'm still going. But they are all connected, actually. Yes.
By meditating on the word of God.
Now, let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. All the answers are good and they are relevant. I want to show you the foundational answer to that question.
so that, and I will show you the difference between that answer and whatever you've thought before. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So I'm teaching, as you can see. That's part of my job. Yes. Romans 10, 17. Would you like to read? Yes. Fernando. Romans 10, 17. Yes, go for it.
So then faith comes by hearing. And
so hearing. Then. So then. Faith what? Faith can come. Say, oh, I don't have much faith. Faith can come. Yeah? Hallelujah. Faith comes. Can you see that? Faith comes. There's a way. There's an avenue to which faith comes. How does it come? Go on.
So then faith comes by
hearing. By hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
And hearing by what? The word of God. Every time you hear the word of God, or what God has to say about your situation, faith can arise. Hallelujah. Every time you look into the word of God and see what God has said about you, and you take hold of that, faith is coming. I want to explain to you that faith is not just tightening your mind and say, I believe. That's not faith. The level of faith you have is directly corresponds to the level of the word of God that is inside you. No word, no faith. That's why for someone to be born again, you have to preach to them. They need to hear the word. And then when they believe it, yeah, they will be born of God. If somebody has never heard that, you know, God can heal, they will never believe in healing. Hallelujah. But someone comes to church and testifies and says, I read it in the Bible that by his stripes I'm healed, and I just believed it, and I said, this sickness leave my body, and it left. Now they know that God can heal. Faith has come. Hallelujah. The word of God is the basis for your faith. He just said, the word of God is the basis for my faith. Now let me tell you, there are two kinds of faith. There's natural human faith that doesn't need the word of God. So for example, if I put on this switch, if I put up this switch, it's gone, put it on, comes back, I don't have for many days, off, on. So by natural faith, I know that the next time I'm going to put up on that switch, the light will come on. You know, human beings live by faith. We couldn't do anything except without natural faith. For example, you wouldn't even sit on that chair if you don't have natural faith. Because you'd be afraid that it's going to let you down and you will be on the floor. Okay? You won't even stand beside your friend if you didn't have natural faith, because you'll be afraid they're going to, you know, poke you in the back. You know, we need natural faith to live as human beings at all. We talk about technology. You know, whatever technology you have, you know, like for example, what type of technology do you have right now? Your smartphone. Yeah? You have faith in that phone. You know, you have faith that, you know, when you send your messages, it will deliver. You have faith that, you know, when you put it off, it will not go on. You have faith that it will not record your private conversation and transmit it to your enemy. Are you with me? That's natural faith. Natural faith is based on, I see it. Therefore, I believe it. If I can see it, I will not believe it. If you are nice to me, I will be nice to you. That's natural faith. You don't need the word of God for that. If you are wicked to me, I will show you pepper. That's natural faith. But that's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith says, God has said it. And I believe it. Because the word of God is greater than any other thing. But I would like to show you how it works. I don't want to just preach to you something far away there. I'm preaching to you what I live. So I'll show you how it works. Okay? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And if you want to increase your faith, you need to spend more time in the word. When I say this, don't think that I'm saying, you know, spend more time reading only your Bible. You understand? Because the technology has moved on. Say to your neighbor, turn to them, smile. Technology has moved on. You know, there's some people, some pastors that believe that, you know, oh, I only want to just read my good old Bible. It's not spirituality. They refuse to move on with technology. The right approach to technology is the use the old and the new. Hallelujah. Yeah? You have your Bible here, you also have it on your phone. Yeah, I can't carry my Bible in the train or everywhere with me, but I can carry my phone. Hallelujah. When I'm tired, I can tell my phone to read the Bible to me. And it will obey. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. There are many ways you can expose yourself to the Word of God. You have TV at home. All you ever do is to watch soap opera, sports, and what else? I hope you are not watching horror film. If you watch horror film, you come to me for prayer, I will chase you back. I say you are foolish. Hallelujah. You cannot provide a gateway for the devil and then be asking God to deliver you. Somebody said something the other day and said that God will only, who said it? Was this in church? He said God will only deliver you from your enemies. He will not deliver you from your friends. Listen to that. God can only deliver you from what? Your enemies. He will not deliver you from your friends. So if you are making friends with what is not ungodly, yeah? Don't think God will deliver you. You chose that. If you want deliverance, you have to refuse it. Hallelujah. Whatever you are allowing in your life that you are allowing as your friend that is destructive, God cannot deliver you from it because it was your choice. Hallelujah. God will deliver you from anything you don't want. Now, let's assume that there's something in your life that you don't want. But, you know, you can't help yourself. God will help you. You don't want it. But if there's something you want or you keep doing, enjoy. You know, enjoy. So remember that principle. God delivers you from your enemies. He doesn't deliver you from your friends. So don't make friends with unrighteousness. It becomes a foothold for the devil. You listen to me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There are people that have preached sermons on faith. Listen to them. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't want to stay in the company of people who say, you know, whatever happens, you just take it that's the will of God. You think that's the will of God? The Lord's Prayer. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. If God's will is always done on earth, that we should tear that prayer and bin it. God's will is only done when man cooperates with God. Hallelujah. Whether in the spiritual or in the physical, anytime man cooperates with God, God's will be what? Done. That's why we need godly people everywhere. See, God has not called everybody to be a pastor. Hallelujah. In your workplace, you know, there are people that God needs at the university. There are people that God needs in the hospitals. There are people that God needs in the workplace. There are people that God needs in the society, in social work. There are people that God needs in politics. Hallelujah. Everywhere we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world because we are the agents that will enable God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you with me? So there's so much material out there. There are Christian TV stations. I'm not saying you should only watch Christian TV stations. Are you with me? I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to say that. Give yourself a fair deal. You know, some of you here, you've never, ever put your Sky on TV, Christian TV. Because you're too busy. And the remaining 1 hour you have, you just want to unwind. Are you with me? You are not allowing faith to come. You are blocking faith from coming. I cannot spend all my time gaming. Yeah? I can game. But I need to allocate time to gaming and allocate time to the word. I need to allocate time to movie and allocate time to what? The word. Even when there are Christian movies. Because every time you put yourself in the place of fellowship with the word, your faith is what? Increasing. Not just faith for healing or breakthrough. Even faith for holiness increases with fellowship. You see, when you watch a Christian movie and they show you the consequences of bad behavior, your faith to want to stay away from it increases. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word. It's the first lesson you need to learn about faith. Okay, let's go to another level now. Let me show you something very important now.
Okay, look at, yes, no, before we go there, Joshua 1:8, open to Joshua 1:8. I just wanted to explain that Joshua 1:8. So one of the answers said, you have to meditate on the word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, okay, who is going to read for me? Who has not said anything today? Yes, it's okay. Joshua 1:8.
Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do.
Amen. Now, some of you may be familiar with this scripture. I just want to show you a key there, because I meditated on it again and I saw something. I find that when we say faith is the victory, what does it mean? It means that through faith, we can overcome, we can have success, we can have good success. Now, Joshua 1:8, the same key God is showing. He said, Joshua, if you want to have, you want to prosper and have, you know, there's success and there's good success. What's the difference between success and good success? Anybody? Sean, what's the difference between success and good success? Is every success a good success?
Success for some people can be like the devil. For its success, it's a negative success and it's not good success. But for the righteous, their success will usually be good success.
Okay, anybody want to say something? What's the difference between success and good success? Is every success a good success? Yep. I pass it to Sister Pam.
Success, anybody can achieve that with just hard work, but good success comes from God and without any stress or anything bad
okay.
attached.
Okay, that's a good answer. I'll just stop there. Okay, no, take one more. What's the difference between success and good success?
I think reputation. Like, some people's success comes from bad reputation. For example, doing bad things. There's many people that are successful look things.
Yes, okay. So, for example, when criminals plan a grand robbery, you know, that's what happened in London. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, they went to rob this, you know, jewelry, you know, place. They planned a grand robbery. They drilled through walls. Yeah? And then finally, they succeeded and got the goodies. So for them, that's success. For criminals, yeah? If their plan works out, it's what? Success. But it's not good success. Hallelujah. You know, when people go to visit witch doctors, yeah? And sorcerers, yeah? To achieve their goal, and they achieve it, whatever that goal is, whether good or bad. For them, it's like what? Success. But it's not what? Good success. But there's a principle for good success. But what is good success? Good success is success achieved in purity and holiness. It's success that blesses lives, not destroy lives. And good success is also success that is long lasting. Yeah? The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. It's like somebody looking for a child and they went to the devil. I know you may not know about that. And the devil gave, they've been looking. They didn't just want to go to the devil. You don't understand. People don't just do things. They've been waiting for 10 years. No child. 15. They were praying and hoping. And then after 15 years, they went to the devil. And the devil gave them a child. They are now happy. Say, now I have a child. Yeah? But then, child falls sick and die. Is that good success? No. But with the blessing of the Lord, he makes rich. And he has no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:20. That's good success. But there's a principle. There's a principle behind good success. He said, this word of God should not depart from where? You know, I read that scripture. I've known it since I was 9 years old or 10. I never understood. All I just read there was, you shall meditate. He told you how to meditate. The way you meditate on the word of God is that word of God should not depart from where? Your mouth. Hallelujah. You have to say it. I was talking to my brother during the week. I said, you know, if you're a father, you have every right to lay hands on your children and bless them. You know, they said there are two levels. There's a level of saying, God bless this child. That's one level. You see, but as a parent, you have spiritual authority. That's why God makes children, they come into the world like tiny babies so that they can't fight you yet. You understand? Yeah? Put your hands on them. Bless them. You know what? If you don't do that, you will curse them. You see, if you don't do the right thing, you do the wrong thing. You keep coming up and say, oh, stupid boy, naughty boy, foolish boy. No! No! P- Put your hands on them and bless them as I bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're speaking the word of God into their destiny. He said you will meditate on it day and night. And then he said you observe to do according to what is written. He said that way you will make your ways prosperous. And you will have what? Good success. So I found out my weapon as a believer is that I have to take the word of God, whatever he has said about any part of my life, and begin, yeah, to practice it. When I say practice, I'm not just talking about, you know, like living a religious, sanctimonious life. No. I'm saying, if the Bible says that by his stripes I'm healed, I will have to face my body wherever there is pain. I do it all the time. Hallelujah. The moment I feel it, it could be a pain or headache, I speak to it. I say, in the name of Jesus. First of all, let me give you some scriptures. The Bible says my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what do? I feel pain. What am I going to do? I have to speak to the pain. He doesn't know it. I need to tell him. Say, pain, my body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not permitted here. Hallelujah. Then in case he didn't understand that level, I tell you again, I said, Jesus Christ himself, yeah, he bore my sickness and he bore my disease. The punishment for my peace and well-being has been laid on. You have to speak to it. Bible says that, you know, if you can say to this mountain, yeah, find what God will, you know, don't just speak to any mountain. You can't move any mountain. You can't just move any mountain. Amen? You can only move this mountain. You cannot move any mountain. Bible says, if you can say to any mountain, no, it will not move. You are breaking the word of God. He said you have to speak to this mountain. What is this mountain? This mountain is that thing that has become an obstacle, yeah, to your well-being. It's not this because it's specific. It's against you. Amen? That's this mountain. It's that thing that has become an obstacle to your prosperity. When I talk about prosperity, what is true prosperity? True prosperity is that which you will do that will honor God. Hello? True prosperity is not just being rich. It's about whatever I'm going to do that we honor God. That's prosperity. You see, when I'm well, it's prosperity. Because I can function. Hallelujah. When I have all the papers I need to operate, it's prosperity because I can function. Anything that enables me to function well in a way that glorifies God is what? Prosperity. You see, that's why some people, they get the blessing of God, but the blessing will not last. You know why? The moment they get the blessing, they go off and do their own thing. They get the blessing. Yeah? And then, before they got the blessing, they had a very good relationship with their wife or husband. You with me? Well, the blessing came. And then, they pushed them aside. That's not prosperity. Are you with me? It's not what? Prosperity. Because it does not honor God. Are you with me? Before they got the blessing, they were coming to church. Now they got the blessing. Church is secondary. They now think that I have arrived. That's what is not true prosperity. Prosperity is anything you do that you can enjoy in a way that honors God. Are you with me? That sense, nothing is out of bounds. Someone say, "Oh, I'd rather not be rich." Well, if that's where your faith can carry you, that's okay. Yeah? I will say, I would rather be rich and use it for the glory of God. Are you with me? That is prosperity. Oh, say, oh, someone say, oh, children give too much trouble. I'd rather not have children. Oh, I would just have one. It's okay. If that's what your faith can do, that's okay. Yeah? But I would say, I will have three. See, I said I will have three. I didn't say four. The business has closed. Hand over to Brother Tola. You know why? Because at the end, I'm going to invest in them and release them as arrows for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what? Prosperity. Let me just teach one more thing. We round up. Time has gone on me. So go to Hebrews 11:1. I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. And let's round up Hebrews 11:1. The message will continue because I just want to, you know, get us well founded on faith. So I'm looking to round up in 5 minutes now. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Are you there? So let's just show you one thing from Hebrews 11 verse 1. Verse 1 to 3. Yes? Somebody read. Hebrews, where's the mic? Where's my, okay, I found it. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Do you have it? Yes, go for it. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3.
Faith. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Okay, go on.
This is what the ancient were commanded for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Okay, now let me explain this. So this is different between the God kind of faith and human faith. The God kind of faith, human faith is based on what you see. I see it, I've seen it many times, I believe it. The God kind of faith is based on what God has said. Now, why should you ever rely on what God has said? God told you are healed, and your facts tell you are sick. Why should you believe what God has said when your facts are telling you that you are not okay? Bible says that we understand by faith that the whole universe was created by God's word. That means everything you see. Hello? You know, natural faith says seeing is what? Believing. But the Bible is telling us that everything you see was made at God's word. Hello, are you listening to that? Everything we see was framed by God's word. So that tells me that what you can see, which you call your fact, could not even exist if God didn't make the world. The world came out of God's word. So God's word has the power to create. That's the basis for faith. The basis for faith is that I have some facts that don't agree. Hello, we're not denying the facts. But God's word has the ability to create me a new reality. God's word can override my facts and change it. Hallelujah. God's word has the power to create something new. That's why I can hold on to God's word. Hallelujah. Because actually, without God's word, nothing will exist that exists. Nothing. Are you with me? So let me ask you this question as we finish. Yeah? So, faith is believing. Do you agree that faith is believing? Yeah. So the question is this. What does it really mean to believe? If you say, I believe God. Or when you say, I believe in Jesus. Or when you say, I believe the word of God is true. We said it. That the word of God is true. What does it mean to believe? Yes, Sister Amanda first. Because you've been quiet. And then I'll come back. Go on.
It's to have the insurance of something you can't see.
So, believing means to have assurance. That one? About something.
That yeah? You can't see.
Yeah, something you can't see. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. Okay, brother.
Yeah, it's to act in the line of that thought.
Okay. So, believing means to act in the line of what you have accepted. Yeah? Okay, yes. More question. What does it really mean to believe? When you say, I believe. See, I believe that I will make it. I will overcome. I believe in Jesus. I believe that God will make a way. Or I believe in God. What does it mean to believe? Yes. Because if you don't break that word down, you never understand faith.
It's to have confidence that you can achieve what you believe in.
Okay.
What
yes.
The word of God says.
So, you know, to have assurance, to have confidence, to act on it. Yes. Let's have more. When you say, I believe, what does that really mean to you? So, like, for example, like someone said, you know, I'm born again because I believe in Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean to believe in Jesus?
I think it's trusting in his word. In the unknown, even though you can say, trusting and having confidence that he's going to do it.
Trusting in the unknown, trusting, having confidence in God. Okay, because of time, let me just break this down for you. There are two types of believing. There is believing with your head, and there is believing with your heart. I want to explain different. That's why you understand why sometimes when your faith is not working, you understand where the problem is. See, when you believe something with your head, you know what it means? It means you agree with it. Hello? For example, maybe someone says, you know, comes to you and say, you know, Theresa May, she's the best politician in the UK. In fact, she's everything you want, ever wanted in politician and gives you all the reasons. Another discussion, you know, you can see the reason. And you say, okay, yes, okay. Do you believe this? You say, yeah, I believe. Yeah? And then the next day is voting day, but you don't vote for Theresa me. You agreed that she's the best. But you were not convinced that she should be the prime minister. Hello? You can agree with something. Let me tell you something. There are people who believe that Jesus is Lord, but they are not born again. You need to accept it. Don't ever deceive yourself and say, oh, anybody that believes that Jesus is Lord is born again. No. They agree with their head. Yeah? But they have never made a commitment. You see, believing in your heart is commitment. Let me say that. Believing in your heart is conviction. And it is commitment. When anything you truly believe, you commit yourself to it. I know I can know if I spend 2 hours with you in a day, I can know what the things you believe. Because the things you truly believe will come out of your mouth or your actions. The things you truly believe in your heart. Hello? Believing with your head is mental assent or agreement. Believing in your heart is commitment. Hallelujah. So when I say I believe that Jesus is Lord, yeah? Yes, I should. Of course, I cannot believe that Jesus is Lord if I don't agree with it. But I have to move from agreeing to putting my life totally in Him. That's believing with your heart. It's like somebody say, I love you. And you know that they're just saying that because they want something from you. They loved you with their head. But when they love you with their heart, they will take action. Are you with me? So true believing must be reflected in action. If you truly believe anything, you will act accordingly. You will commit yourself to it. So the reason sometimes why the word of God is not working in your life is that you have not committed to that word. You say, I believe that, oh, by His stripes I'm healed. And I believe that God will heal me. I agree that Jesus died for my sins and for my sickness. You see, that's mental assent. But when I move from mental assent to now really believing that He died for my sickness, I will not take that word and begin to act on it. Someone told me, I put money in your bank account. Yeah? I know Him and I know that He doesn't lie. So I agree. But if I really believe and I need money, I'm on my way to the bank. I'm on my way to the bank to withdraw. Because now I believe it, I will act. If you truly believe the word of God, you will what? Begin to act on it. Hallelujah. As though it were true. If you are waiting for God to do it, that's hope. You see, hope waits for God to do it. Faith says God has done it. Now I will begin to act accordingly. Hallelujah. He said, if you believe with your heart the Lord Jesus and you confess with your mouth. You see, your confession is even part of the action. You see, when you begin to confess, for example, that I am healed. Yeah? Even when your symptoms are saying not yet. You are now acting on what you believe. Based on what God has said. Are you with me? You're not denying the fact. You still know the fact. But it's just that now you have access to a better information. Hallelujah. No, you made an application. You're believing God for a job or a breakthrough, you know. When you've prayed to the point that you believe that God has heard you. And by the way, when you are praying, you need to believe that God hears. Because if you don't believe God hears your prayer, He didn't hear. It's your faith that compromised you. Because He said, Bible says that, ask and you will what? See. So that means God has not changed His mind. Did God change His mind? No. Did God change His mind? He's like, did God change His mind? He doesn't. So when I ask God, I go on believing that He has heard me. There's no reason why He should not hear me. He said He will hear. Are you with me? And when I believe that God has heard me, I begin to act accordingly. Now, that's true faith. That's true faith. And when you begin to act according to God's word, your miracle starts to unveil. Hallelujah. Let me stop there because of time. If you believe, you will what? You will act. That's believing with your heart. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what is coming against you. What you need to do is find out what God has said. That's why He put it down. Legal document. Have you noticed something about legal documents? They must be written. Did you notice? If it's going to be a legal document, it must be what? If you say something is legal, nothing is legal without documentation. Am I right? So He has documented it. I look at what that picture says. He said, he is my peace. That means that, yeah, I have access to peace. My mind does not need to be, a storm. So I begin to speak it. I say, in the name of Jesus, I have peace. Because I believed it. I start acting on it. You know, it says that God will make a way where there seems to be. He said, I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If I believe that, you know, the problem is that many times you are thinking about how God will do it. That's not your business. Because you can't even think like God anyway. You know, imagine you talk about all the ways God will do it. You can't still know everything God can do. Hallelujah. Don't worry about thinking about God with you. That's God's problem. Your own is to find out what He said. Now, remember, you cannot believe for what God has not said. Hello, you cannot believe for what God has not said. But if He said it, and you know that this belongs to a child of God, lay hold on it. That's faith. You lay hold on what God has said, and you make it yours. Yeah? And the Bible says that whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You see, you only have them only after you believe that you receive them. Because your believing is a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. And then as you hold on to your faith, you know what usually happens along the line? God will give you some instruction. You say, go there, go there, go there. Sometimes there needs for perseverance waiting. It doesn't mean that God has disappointed you. You know, some things will come in perfect timing. But from the moment you believed, you laid on it and said, it's mine. Hallelujah. And at the perfect timing, it will come out as yours. If you don't stop laying hold, it will not be aborted. You lay hold and say, it is what? It is mine. Hallelujah. Say, it is mine. If God has said it, it belongs to me. And I lay hold on it. I stop there. Remember that the blessings of God are not automatic. It uses your faith. You have to lay hold on what God has said. Because without faith, it is a what? Impossible to please God. Let's stop there. Let's pray. Let's talk to God and thank Him for what He has taught you today. Faith is believing. Faith is assurance. Faith is conviction. Faith is commitment to the word. You lay hold on it and say, this belongs to me. It belongs to me because I'm a child of God. And you begin to speak and say, Father, thank you. You know, when I pray, after a while, I don't keep praying. I just say, thank you, Father, because you've heard me. It's a good prayer. For you to know that when you pray that God heard you, how can you be thinking, oh, maybe He didn't hear? No, if God can hear you, your prayer is answered. It's a matter of not timing. And all through that timing of waiting, you can be able to thank Him and say, Father, thank you, it's mine. It belongs to me. You know what? If God didn't want you to have anything, He will tell you. Has not told you, and so long the word has not told you, you know, then you don't need to doubt. Just continue to lay hold. Bible says He is our peace. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I believe it. I believe that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't know about you. I believe that the Lord is the strength of my life. I believe that He will deliver me from evil. I believe that His angels are in charge over me right now. To keep me in all my ways. I believe that if I fall, I will rise again. I believe that the Lord is my helper. I believe that God will make a way. Even when there seems to be no way at all. I believe it. I have laid hold on it. It is mine now. Faith is never passive. Faith is active. It belongs to me now. Hallelujah. Let's round up with that song. Oh, oh, oh. Where are the musicians? Come. Oh, oh.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.
Now what we're singing is victory belongs to Jesus. See, because let me explain. The victory of Jesus is not for Jesus' sake. Do you realize Jesus was already God? The victory of Jesus is for your sake. Everything Jesus did was for you. So victory belongs to Jesus, belongs to me. I am one with Him. I'm in union with Christ. that is in me and I'm in Christ. Hallelujah.
Oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.
Take a pause. Begin to claim what the word of God has said for you. Look at your situation. I don't know it. You know it. It can be one situation. It can be two. It can be many. It doesn't matter. You are a child of God. Claim it. It's not future. It's now. If God has said it, His word is valid every moment. Claim it. Claim it now. It belongs to you. Look at what God said about your situation. Claim it. Open your mouth. And claim it and say, in the name of Jesus, I am delivered. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I am covered. Now I have direction. I have clarity in my mind. I have clarity in my spirit. In the name of Jesus, I am not a victim. In the name of Jesus, I know what to do. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. Not want any good thing. In the name of Jesus, I'm delivered from sickness and disease. I'm delivered from oppression and depression. I'm delivered from barrenness and unfruitfulness. I'm delivered from trouble. You know, Bible, I will be with him in trouble and he will deliver him. I'm like, well, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver him. I say, I'm in trouble. Lord, you say, I will be with you and he will deliver you. He will make a way. To be known, his word is yes and amen. Hallelujah.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.